This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pete and Sebastian Show. Another episode, another day here at Pete Corielli. What kind of thermos is that?
It's a water bottle right out of the kitchen. Big water bottle, yeah.
Did your manager buy you that?
No.
Did you
manager got me cookies.
You got cookies?
Nice, big, fat bunch of them, homemade cookies. I got no problem with that gift.
Cookies in a thermos, same shit, bro. What are you touting cookies over there, bro? Come on.
I'm not touting cookies, but I don't. You know what? It's like, it's a tough thing. I don't want to go into that whole like, you do a project with someone and it happens to be December, so then you get a gift for them. How do I best explain it? Okay. Every year from this awesome dude who's a listener to the cast and has become a friend. His name is Sam Luffy out of Pittsburgh. Literally has become a friend. Cool dude, right? Owns a company. Younger guy, does well for himself out in Pittsburgh. So maybe 5 years ago for Christmas, guy sends me a nice ham and bacon from this place. Like just great bacon, like cowboy bacon, thick. So we have the bacon on Christmas morning, save the ham for Easter. Next year, I get the ham, I get the bacon again. Kids eats the bacon. Third year, I get the bacon again. Now my daughter's going, Dad, I love every Christmas having this bacon. It's so great. It's like a tradition. So now I'm like, when is this guy going to reach a certain age where he's busy with his life and he doesn't listen to the cast anymore and he taps out as a listener? And when am I not going to get this ham? And when I don't get the ham, fourth year, got it. This year was the fifth year and I didn't get the ham, right? I said to Jackie, it's over. It's fine. You know what? And I go, maybe it's better to peel the Band-Aid because it's like losing a pet. It's like very sad to not get the. And then 2 days before Christmas, I got the ham again, bro. So I texted him and I basically said all this to him in the text. I go, bro, it's going to be so sad the day I don't get the ham because it's going to mean that life has moved on. But not this year. He goes, that's the best response I ever got. And as long as I got the company, you're going to get the ham. So.
Oh, shit.
Bro, only you I could say that kind of shit, but I have a good time doing this cast with you after all these years, bro.
Yeah, cheers, bro.
There you go.
I want to bring a video to your attention because when I saw it, I kind of thought of you, and I want to play it for you, right? And we could discuss it after we play it. It's at an airport, and for those of you, right. I forget that we have people who actually listen to the cast, not watch the cast. So let's show a video of a guy getting a little irate at a airport gate. And I want to play the video, and I'm not going to say either way what my thoughts are.
You don't care about the girls.
Hello, everybody. Justin.
American Airlines. Fuck this over.
All right. Here we go. Justin. Here.
I'm not kidding.
You don't care about the girls? So I want to tell you about
Shelby
our
and Dolly. Shelby and Dolly. Shelby and Dolly. Remember
I'm gonna
them.
I'm going to do it for you.
Shelby and Dolly.
That's it.
Shelby and Dolly. Remember them.
Look. I have most paper dolls. Fuck off, bitch. Fuck off, bitch.
Okay. What you think?
I actually read about that. I didn't see the video. Now seeing the video, he seems like he's drunk or something.
Yeah.
It's not rational, you know? I mean, it's not how you would do it. Like, it's not how I would do it in a way that the people like the way I do it. I'd be like, excuse me, everybody. I hope you have a better experience because I just got fucked by American. Like, this guy, the dogs and lunatics.
Yeah, see, that's why I wanted you to comment first. The fact that you are relating to this in a way where you go, the way I would do it.
Right.
When I saw that, I didn't have that. I didn't have that, like, reaction where I go, oh, if that was me, I would have done. If that was me and the American didn't get me on the plane, from me walking away from the gate to going to wherever I'm going to go, you would not know what the hell just happened with my interaction with American Airlines. There would be no, I would not turn to the group and go, guys, you know what they just did to me? They bumped me for a flight next week. No one would know. Nothing. My question to you is, why do you feel compelled to turn around and talk to the group as if they were waiting to find out what happened with your flight?
Exactly. I know. Because he's crazy. And not only that, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I was saying, but if I were to do that, but I would never turn around.
Why is that even in your, what do you mean if I were to do that? Like, why is that even an option to do that?
I'm saying if I was ever going to address everybody behind me, but the only way I could ever see that happening is if I'm yelling so much and then I turn around to everyone and go, I apologize for yelling, folks, but I'm getting fucked by America, like something like that. But this guy's doing a play.
Yelling? Why are you even yelling?
Bro, I have never turned to the passengers and got them involved. I am doing a what if. So stop acting like I do that.
No, I think I think you've done not this, but a version of this where you're talking to the people in line and you're getting hot and bothered and you have volume when you go. You did this, remember, to the lady, and the lady said, sir. And then you had...
Yeah, but that was her. She worked there. Yeah. But I don't turn around to the people and go, do you believe this lady? But absolutely, I yell at them. The people, I'm the ticket lady for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm always in control, which makes them even more off-put by the whole situation, whoever I'm yelling at, because they're like, who could say the things that this guy is saying and seemingly be completely comfortable saying them?
Yeah.
I'm like a superhero without a cape. I had a layover in Minneapolis Airport. We're waiting around. They say it's delayed. I recorded some of it.
What are we doing? What are you guys doing? Okay. We were sitting on a plane for 2 hours. What were you doing when we were on the plane? Get your shit together. They're not doing it. What are you going to give me, a candy bar? Well, when though, man? We want to go home.
I understand.
Listen to me. Don't tell me anything else. And I'll be calm. Okay. Don't say another word to me.
I will listen to you.
But that's a shit response. It's a stupid, insulting response. We would have more respect if you just said you're screwing us, because that's what you're doing. Give us flights. Give us hotel rooms. Let's go. Holy shit. Why aren't you paying for my hotel? It's your fault I'm not getting out of here. No, you didn't. I'm telling you, you didn't, sir. How do you sleep at night? You stink.
Shame those motherfuckers, bro. That's all we got. I know.
Oh, you can't shut your mouth.
If you were having a moment at the ticket counter, you don't even get hot with the ticket person?
I don't get hot.
Oh, man.
I've never had any type of, like, volume going, what do you mean you can't get me on? They go, I hear we're going to have to push you. And I say, okay. When? The next flight. All right. Nothing possible here? No. And that's it. There's no, what do you mean? There's none of that. There's no, where's the man at? There's none of that. I take it in. I get hit with the punch.
Right.
And I walk away.
Wow, man. Keep that anger in. Listen, I know this person I'm dealing with isn't the reason that what's happening to me is happening. But the idea is, because I worked front desk. And, you know, when someone's yelling at me, I'm going to take that back the next day to my boss and say, you got to tell these people making reservations to stop promising this or that because I'm getting beat up. So I feel like if I don't say anything to the ticket person, then they're going to think everything's fine and everyone's just going to keep getting fucked because they're walking away like you. You got to give it a little bit so then she goes back and goes, hey, we got to stop, you know, canceling flights. I'm getting killed out there. This Italian guy went off on me.
So while this is happening at the airport, yeah, right, and the guy, I assume these two are together romantically, I'm assuming, could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have kids at home, right? And the one guy is pleading to his partner, think of the kids, because he sees it escalating where maybe this guy will be face down in the carpeting soon with handcuffs behind him, and they're going to take him away. I don't understand the American public in the sense that they tend to get loud and argumentative at the airport. And I know there's a lot of frustrations there, but the airport, right, right, to be lipping off at an airport after 9/11, right? Yeah. It's just you're asking to get thrown in jail and put on some no-fly list, right? Like
yeah, they don't put up with it anymore at all.
Yeah.
Two things I want to say though is, I read the article, first of all, I don't know if you noticed, but like they were talking about their kids, they were talking about their dogs, they're gay, and their dogs are Shelby and whatever.
Oh my God.
And they were separated. Hold on, bro. They were flying with it.
I didn't even know the story. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to say this to the listeners. I did not know the story, so please explain this.
They are gay, as you said, they are gay. And their flight got messed up, and they're traveling with their dogs, and they wanted to be back with their dogs, but they're like, well, we can't till we get you on whatever flight. So the one guy was freaking out, and the other one was like, basically saying, remember the kids, meaning the dogs, because if you freak out, we're not going to see our dogs for a long time. So you have to keep it together for the kids. And then the gay guy turns to the woman in the wheelchair and says, our dogs are our kids, Shelby and blah, blah, blah. And she says to him, well, she has like a rescue dog with her. Yeah. And she says, well, you're frightening my dog. And that's when he says, fuck off, bitch. Yeah. So there's a lot of crazy going on there. A lot of crazy, you know. Even the lady yelling, you're scaring my dog. Scaring your dog? Well, you know where I wouldn't scare your dog? If it was in its fucking doghouse in the backyard, then I wouldn't scare it. Holy shit. You're crazy. I'm bookended by crazy here. By the way, before I forget, I had a flight. I meant to tell you recently. I'll make this quick. I was flying from Charleston back to Columbus, Ohio, because I did a show in Columbus, which is 4 hours away. Then I flew to Charleston, did a show in Charleston. Then I flew back to Columbus just to get my car and drive home. Now, we're at the small plane from Charleston, South Carolina to Columbus early in the morning. And there's a dude on there, and he's saying, the flight attendant's leaning over, it's a woman, and she's saying, as an African-American gentleman in the window aisle, and the flight attendant also happened to be African-American woman, and she's like, we're going to go now, baby. Are you staying on or are you getting off? And he's holding up his hand like, because he's got his phone here. Hold up. And she goes, we're about to close the door. I can't hold up. Once we close the door, we're gone. You can't change your mind when we're out on the runway. And he goes, hold up. And he's waiting on the phone. I'm waiting for the call. So then some of the other passengers start going, let's go, you know, like they're getting a little, and now I'm getting worried, like, let's just, one way or another, let's square this, because if this becomes an altercation, then we're all going to have to get off, and then I'm not going to get back today to Columbus, probably only one, so I'm getting worried. And then finally, because I'm like, what the hell's he doing? the guy next to me yells out, we got to go, right? And then that dude starts looking around like this. He's getting real mad. So then the flight attendant says one more time, listen, we got to go. I don't know who you're trying to call. And he goes, I'm waiting for my manager to let, because the manager missed the flight. I'm waiting for my manager to find out if my manager wants me to go. I do what my manager says. If he says go, I go. He was a performer, I think, like maybe a rapper. So that, I swear to God, bro, at that point, I go, manager, I go, we're in coach, guy. And everybody laughed. And everybody laughed, you know? And then he goes, and then he finally finishes up with his guy. I mean, I didn't make him finally finish up, but it was a funny laugh. We're like, manager, we're coach.
Well, did he
and your
know
manager's going to let you know if you should take the flight to Columbus? We're flying coach to Columbus, Ohio. Nobody's winning. Nobody's winning.
What? Did he know you said that?
No, because the big guy next to me who was yelling, we got to go, was a big guy. And he was like taking over the area. So I was just like, we're in coach, guy. You know, almost sounded like the petite wife right behind them. You know,
that's a great line, man.
But anyway, yeah, I can't believe you're a quiet guy. Those people are nuts in that thing. They're crazy.
Yeah,
turning around to everybody.
Yeah, I never felt the urge, and I've never gotten out of control like that. Where, you know, like to me, the guy who's trying to calm the other guy down, that's a deal breaker. Like, when we're on the flight home, if I'm the guy that was the quiet one, I go to the loud one going, I want you to pack your things and take one of the dogs and get the fuck out of my apartment. Like,
if Lana
did that, I would have to tell Lana, we're going to have to see a lawyer when we get home. I mean, I don't know. Right. The judgment there is not right.
I don't mind. Look, things happen. I get it. Flights get canceled. I don't like when they don't even apologize. They don't even care that your shit's fucked up, you know? But I have to say, before I forget, this Pete, I'm going to butcher the last name, Pete Buttigieg or whatever.
Our judges indicate that that's close enough.
Well, I don't know how much you follow this, but he's in charge of the airlines, and they were a nightmare. And I got to say, and I'm knocking on wood, but lately, everything's shooting out on time, no delays. I think we're going to start hearing the news soon. This guy Buttigieg figured this shit out. I'm telling you. And maybe I'm the first one that will be saying it publicly. Like, they're like, Buttigieg is going to hear this on the cast and go, finally, someone's saying it. But everything's been running very tight, very tight. So, and I know that was a big thing he was trying to get fixed. So, kudos to this guy.
Give it up to what's his name? Pete Buttigieg.
That's how I say it, but we all know that means nothing.
Buttigieg. I think it's...
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Yeah, here he is, 41 years old. He's, I thought he was running for president at one point.
He was. Yeah, he probably will again somewhere down the line.
Clip this out and tag Buttigieg, see if he's a listener. So we'll clip this out, put it up on social media this week, and see if this guy listens to the cast. And maybe we could get, based on your compliment to this guy, Pete, maybe you could
and
get
listen. This guy's also
escorted through
the
airport. Maybe he's got a plan where you just get escorted through the airport. You don't have to go through any security or no nothing. You just go around all that stuff.
Who, me? Because of my connection with Buttigieg?
Yeah. If Buttigieg finds out that you're complimenting him.
Yeah. Oh.
And you get a call from him going, Pete, man, listen, I've been breaking my ass over here. Finally, somebody recognized all the work I've been doing. I'd like to pay you back, Pete. Anytime you fly, what we have here at the Transportation Committee is we call it a free pass. And
it's a Pete pass. It's a Pete pass. It's a Pete, because his first name is Pete Buttigieg. And he has these special cards, like you got the Chipotle card, you get a Pete pass. Don't even ask the ID, you just show that and stroll right through everything. Oh, I love it, bro. I hear what you're saying.
Oh, man.
That would be nice. Yeah, he's doing good work. He's someone you'd want to know in life. He's a mover and shaker. He's going to be.
Is he, what is he? Is he Republican, Democrat? Does it say there?
He's a Democrat. He's a gay man, married, they have a child, but he was also in the armed forces, an ex-vet. I mean, this guy's like, he checks every box. A man's man, but yet gay with a child at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, could kick my ass and, you know, burps a baby and, you know, all that kind of, I don't know, well, I burp a baby too, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, yeah, he's a man of the people.
All right, guys, did you know on average it takes about 30 days for a person to break their New Year's Eve resolution? So if saving money was on your 2024 list, your odds aren't looking that great. Luckily, I have a 100% guaranteed way to save money this year. Just switch to Mint Mobile. For a limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Think about all the money you might save on Mint Mobile, a plan with Mint Mobile. Are you kidding me? Mint Mobile's here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Nothing changes. Nothing except the low price of your bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get premium wireless service again for just $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/thecast. That's mintmobile.com/thecast. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/thecast. The cast is all one word, the cast, okay? Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Time to start saving money.
Ooh, feel it coming in. The mountains win again.
I want to get into, I went skiing with the family in Deer Valley. Yeah.
Okay.
First time going skiing with the family. Last time I went skiing was about 14 years ago to Deer Valley with Lana. I am not a big skier. And I had a great time. She kind of taught me how to ski. It was really nice. So.
This is in Utah? I had never heard of this till you told me when we were talking.
Yeah, Utah. Park City, Utah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's where it is. Why don't you say Park City?
Well, it's like saying L.A., but you stayed in Malibu, I guess.
Oh, all right. Got you.
I'm not, listen, I don't know the ins and outs of like the ski, the lodge. You get your skis here, you store them, this, you fitted. There's just so many moving parts to skiing that I'm not really privy to. And Lana knows the game inside and out. She basically grew up in Deer Valley. They had a house there. Growing up. So I get there, right? And I'm not skiing. I'm just not skiing because I'm at the age now, the way I feel, if I took a tumble, right?
Yeah.
Wheelchair, rest of my life. I'm one of those.
Good chance of paralysis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear you.
I get the kids up and running.
You don't think you're too young to be tapping out like that?
I am too young now, but again, 2024 with the new health and wellness initiative that I have planned for myself, I plan to be a backup on the slopes next year.
Wow.
This trip was so good. This trip was so good. We're planning on making it a yearly thing. All right?
Awesome, man. Yeah.
Kids loved it. Kids took right to it. Serafina didn't want to get off the hill. She loved it. 4 days of private lessons. They took to it really. And Caruso, I got to tell you, this kid, it just looks cool. Everything this guy does is cool. Unlike his father.
What about?
Like, I get there, bro. Anything, like, if you put me in a different environment, that whatever that environment is, I have the symptoms to an exponential degree. And this is what I'm talking about. High altitude, we're 10,000 feet above sea level, right? It's dry. Mm-hmm. I'm bleeding. I'm fucking constantly bleeding out of my nose, right? Do you get this, like, when you go to, like, these high altitudes, do you get, like, a bloody nose?
No.
Okay,
Jesus.
I do.
Again, you're saying, like, if you're at an airport and your wife gets loud, you're going to go home and serve her divorce papers. I'm on a mountain with you, and at 10,000 feet, your nose bleeds. As soon as we get to the base, I'm calling my fucking lawyer, too. What are you, a hypophiliac? What the fuck is that?
Hypophiliac? I mean, is that even anything? Look into that.
It's the guy who can't stop bleeding. There's a word for that. Anyway. Yeah. No, that's not it either, dude.
Hemophilia. Hemophilia? Hemophilia.
Hemophilia.
Yeah, yes. Hemophilia.
All right. No, my nose doesn't bleed.
Okay, my nose bleeds.
Full on bleeding?
Like, you know, I'm stuffy, I go blow my nose, and we got blood coming out of my nose, right?
Yeah.
I'm dry, my knuckles, they start to, like, shred, you know, like, you get, like, that scaly skin, right?
Yeah.
I can't breathe, right? I can't breathe. I get up from the bed to go to take a piss, I'm out of breath, right? Everything that the mountain has to offer, I take to it immediately. My wife,
that's
nothing.
Like,
my wife's working out on a treadmill. I go, don't you need oxygen? No, nothing. Kids are fine.
And you're saying,
I'm dying.
Like, if you were on, like, a cruise ship and they go, some people get seasick, you'd be that person.
Yeah.
Like, you're always the one that gets the thing.
Seasick. Seasick. Where it's like, can I see a doctor? It's because this my equilibrium's off, and I might not recover from this.
So when you get to the top of the hill, though, what are you doing without ski? Like, how are you involved without skis? How much involvement do you have in it?
I get them ready.
Where are you?
I send them off, and I sit at the bottom in the lodge, waiting and taking videos. That's my job.
So what are you doing even going that high? There's like a little area where you can go up there and
they're gone.
The place is that high to begin with, right?
They're on the bunny hill, and then they're on the bunny hill where it's right there. I could videotape them, and then Lana took them to, like, you know, a larger run, and that's it. I lost them.
But I'm saying you're getting a bloody nose on the bunny hill, like at that level.
I get a bloody nose every day since I've been there. The bunny hill, the room.
I thought you meant like you're hitting a mountain way up top and your nose bleeds. You're like walking the fucking town getting bloody noses. Does that happen in Denver too?
The town is 10,000 square.
Yeah, but what's the cutoff on the nose? If I was married to you, could we go to Denver at 8,000 feet? Or are you going to walk Main Street gushing there too?
Listen, bro, I'm thinking if I go up a flight of stairs here in L.A., I might get a bloody nose. All right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, 7,000 feet above sea level. It's a park. Yeah.
Oh, my God, bro. That's not even that high. Jesus Christ. 7, if you were like mountain climbing.
Listen, 10,000 feet above sea level.
Seven or ten?
This was seven, but some of the mountains are 10. What are we looking at here?
Los Angeles is 305.
305 feet. Above sea level, right? Yeah. L.A. is 300 feet above sea level. All right? So you take me from there to 7,000 feet. I'm bleeding. So.
Okay. So anyone from L.A. and Park Slope's probably bleeding.
I don't know if they are, but I feel like I want to ask you something about blowing your nose in a hotel room. And when if blood comes out, I want to ask you something. Do you think it's appropriate to leave a bloody tissue in the wastebasket, or do you flush that in the hotel room?
Oh, flush. You gotta flush. No one wants to see blood, dude. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? Because then there's a concern, right?
Yeah. I think there was a day that I didn't put it in the toilet. I just put it in the wastebasket just because I wasn't even in the bathroom. I just flushed, you know, and then put it in a wastebasket. And then I thought about, you know, like I normally, there's no indication of what I don't like to leave any remnants in the room
right.
of a weakness that I might have. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm on medication, if I'm on medication for something, I don't leave a pill bottle out next to my toothbrush. So when the maid comes in, she's clean and she goes, "This guy's got diabetes," like, or whatever you got. Right? Like,
right.
There is no sign at all in the room of a deficiency I might have. Do you lay it all out in your room, or what?
It's like because you make it hard for the detectives if you drop dead in a hotel room, right? Because they want to come in and just see the pill bottle on the edge and go, "Oh, Jared, the heart guy, look at the pills," and then do a little shake with them. But you're making them do a hunt. Yeah, not only that am I with you, but even when I have my toiletries, I bury my pill bottle so that if TSA needs me to open it, I don't even want them to know that. Because all I have is Percocets in case I throw out the back, but no one needs to need. Yeah, I'm right there. No, I don't even like people seeing my toothbrush. But the blood, I got to get back to the blood, bro, because put it like this. If you were like in the, like, just say walking the sidewalk in that little cul-de-sac where you live and you saw a little white handkerchief, you'd be like, someone dropped a handkerchief. You see that same white handkerchief in that same spot and there's blood on it, your brain is going, "What happened that's there now?" The minute someone sees that bloody tissue.
Yeah, I know. And I think I made a mistake by putting it in a wastebasket.
As far as anything being out of order, to your point, like, okay, I get out of shower in a hotel, and like I've had times where I'm going to put my socks on by the bed, and I have towels laid out to get to the bed, and then I have my socks there.
Wait. You have a towel trail from the bathroom to the bed?
I've done that in some of the hotels I stay at, yes. And I set it up prior to getting into the shower. And then I do,
All right, did you do that when we stayed in the hotel, the Four Seasons in Fort Lauderdale? Did you do a paper?
No, are you kidding me? It's not necessary. You could crawl through there, baby. And plus, they got the marble floor. No, man.
Okay.
That's, yeah. Okay.
So, depending on where you're staying, you assess the room and go, "Oh yeah, this is a towel job."
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Finish your story. So you go to the bed, you put your socks.
Yeah. So not only that. So I'm going to sit on the bed, and now I don't want to waste a full towel for the bed. So I've taken a washcloth, which opens up to a nice square, sit it on the bed, so my ass is on that instead of on because they say one of the dirtiest things is the top of the bed, bedspread. So then I put everything on, my underwear. Now I'm bottom line, I'm dressed and I'm looking over and I see the washcloth just sitting on the edge of the bed before I'm getting ready to go do a show that night. And I'm like, gosh, geez, I hate a maid to come in here and see the washcloth on the bed, start wondering what the fuck is that doing there. So I put it back in the bathroom, but like exactly to your point. You put something weird where it don't belong, and like an ice bucket in the bed or something. People get, what's going on? You know, it gets weird.
Do you leave the towels on the floor before you pick them up before you leave, or you just leave them where they're at?
I bring them all and put them into the corner. And then the next day, it's usually a one day stay in a situation like that. But yeah, no, I kick him into the corner. I stayed at one last week. That was good. I knew it was going to be rough. It was just a one nighter real quick. I brought a sleeping bag, bro. Full on Coleman sleeping bag.
Bro.
It fucking smelled like dogs. It was an extended stay. It's fucking disgusting. It was really,
I thought we bro, I thought we got over this hump with the you deserve better. You know, stop staying at these places where they got missing kids on the wall. You know, like
I did this, but this was I was on my way to Annapolis, Maryland, and I was getting tired and I didn't have to be there till the next day. So I'm like, let me just find the spot right here. Boom. I mean, I wasn't going to, I'm not going to, I guess I could have done a Marriott, but. And then when I get in the extended stay, the lady's like, what floor? We have any floor, first, second, or third? And I go, first is fine. And no sooner did I say that, this is so gross to say. And I'm thinking to myself, shit, I know this place takes dogs. If you have a dog, you're going to want to be on the first floor so you get it in and out a lot. I'm probably just checked myself into a heavy dog room. And I checked in and I could fucking smell dog. And I'm like, this is absolutely rock bottom. I mean, I don't even know if I could do heroin in here if I was a heroin addict. I think I'd still, I couldn't even do that in here.
Bro.
Man.
We got to get you out of this rut.
There's only 6 hours I was gone.
I don't care if 6 hours, 1 hour. I don't want you in a heroin-induced room. I'm going to show you the photo that Jackie had sent us. Right. And you saw the photo, too. And I want you to explain how in the hell you get into this sleeping pattern at a hotel.
I know what you should. I know what you should.
Okay, bro.
All right. Oh, Jesus.
What, could you explain? Is the pillow used as a blanket in this particular?
Yes, that's what's going on. I'm laying on the hotel bed, and I say, I got my jeans on and my shirt.
Yeah.
And we're in New York. All right, dude, off the socks, guy. All right, what's up with that? We don't. Anyway, I was taking a. We were watching TV. I was waiting for Jackie to change, and we were going to go back out, me, Sadie, and Jackie in the hotel. And I was freezing, and I couldn't reach the blanket. And those pillows are right there. So I laid them on me. I was like, ooh, that's just the perfect amount of cover I needed. I was so tired. And then she showed me, she sent it after I woke up. I was pissed, dude. I was like, come on, Jack, what the fuck?
Why not, bro? I mean, where's your head here? Is it underneath the pillow, sandwiched between two pillows?
Yeah, because she was blow drying her hair, so I put my head, but I sandwich it so each ear is covered by a pillow, I can't hear that. And Sadie's got the TV on, so the pillows are working like earplugs. Wow, what a move,
bro!
And the midsection wasn't cold because I have the jersey on, but the legs were a little chilly. So yeah, out like a light. Just needed 20 minutes.
To take you back.
Hey, yo, what are you doing?
Happy New Year to all you people out there. It's me, Rocky. Welcome to Embarrassing Grammar, where we learn how not to use and pronounce certain words. This is Pete Corielli, hilarious comedian, but he's pretty punchy if you ask me. As my friend Mickey would say, what are we waiting for?
Take this!
How come Venmo and PayPal is always done later? If you're going to give me the cash right now, just Venmo me right now.
So
go look, I'm Venmo. Yeah.
I think Venmo is cousins with Spider Rico.
It's valuing your little self-respect for yourself, I guess, you know? I mean, everything is relevant.
Pete is trying to say relative. But I guess it's also relevant that you have, like, a relaxed brain.
Did you even see Memoirs of a Geisha?
A Geisha?
Have you ever been around a Geisha?
Geisha.
Geisha. Yeah.
He has been in a fight with this word his whole life. Keep punching, Petey.
Why do they call it Ivy League?
Why do they, bro? Ivory.
Oh, no. IV.
Is that another edit?
Wait, hold on. You wanted your kid to go to an Ivory League.
Stay in school and use your brain. See, be a thinker, not a stinker.
Okay, thanks a lot, champ.
There are two kinds of love that you ought to know.
This is the lovely Eva Longoria. Okay?
Longoria.
Longoria, okay.
Before Adrian, Paulie set me up with my first woman with a similar name. She was pregnant.
I feel like when you check into a hotel, once they see you use like Wikipedia or Orbitz or you prepaid or whatever,
Wikipedia. I go, Expedia.
Expedia.
I gotta stop. This fight's finished. I gotta call it. You can't do no more out there. I gotta stop this thing.
Put it down! Put it down!
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Speaking of sleep, I wanna Lana, God bless her. She's I sleep hot, right? I'm starting to sweat. My body's warm. I sweat, you know. Especially if I eat close to bedtime, So she bought us this cover that goes over the bed called the Sleep 8 system. Have you heard of this?
No.
Basically, it's a cover that you can manipulate the temperature on either side of the bed. So Lana's always cold, so she could set hers to warm. So, Pete, there's the cover of it, right? And then you put your sheets over it and what have you. So, basically what you do is it's hooked up to there's a tower next to it. There's a system where you put water in. And basically, it brings in cold and hot water to her side.
We had that, a version of that. I was doing a whole bit about that where it pumps water underneath her sheet. Whatever temperature you want. She only got a single because I didn't want any part of it on my side.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, I know that thing.
Does she still have it?
No, she threw it out after a while. I mean, she liked it for a little bit. She swore it worked. And then after a while, like, she got the first of all, it's noisy. It was kind of like you could hear it. I like total silence. And then you have to use, I think, saline water or like a certain distilled water.
Distilled water.
So, Yeah. So, do you like it? For cooling, she gets hot. Yeah.
So I got this thing on like the coolest temperature it could get, and it's like an iceberg in there. I have never slept better.
Really?
And this thing measures your heart rate, your deep sleep. REM sleep. It's got a whole.
Yeah.
It's got an alarm on it. It vibrates to wake you up, right? It's a little vibration. You're like, what's that? Oh, it's time to get up. And I gotta tell you, bro.
Yeah.
This might be a game changer for my sleep. Because I'm waking up now, and you could set it because ideally you're supposed to go to bed cold, sleep cold throughout the night, and as you start to come to, you're supposed to be warm. So when you get out of bed, you're warm. You're not shivering, right? Mm-hmm. So I wake up now, toasty warm, beautiful.
You set it that it warms up at a certain hour?
Yeah, you could set it throughout the night. There's four settings. They ask you, do you want it cold, warm, or hot when you get into bed? Cold. And then there's variations of how cold it could get. And then do you want 2 hours in, do you still want it that cold, or do you want it a little colder? Or do you want it a little warmer? Like, you could set it throughout the night, right?
Wow, man.
What I got to tell you, bro, I got this thing on freezing, and it's like sleeping on a block of ice. It's great. I highly recommend it.
That's crazy.
And Lana's warm. Damn. On her side, if I want a little warmth, I dip a toe on her side. It's boiling, right? And my side's cold. Right. It's great.
Now, is it noisy at all? Is it silent or what?
It's a little noise coming out of that machine, which I have to try and figure out why that noise is coming. Is it heating it up? What's it doing? But once I work out the kinks there, this is called the sleep aid system. This is not paid advertisement, the Pete Sebastian show. But I got to tell you, as soon as I thought, wow, this is a great, great product, how nice would it be the next time you come out, I got one of these damn things in your bed, in the guest room. Like, if you slept at somebody's house, and I told you before you went to bed, Pete, do you like to sleep cold or hot at night? And you're like, what? Like, yeah, what do you prefer? I like a nice, you know, a nice 62 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
And I set your bed to your preferred temperature.
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, bro, you already asked me what temp I wanted the pool at. Now you're asking me the bed, the bedroom. I mean, what service? What service? By the way, while we're talking about luxury in the home and whatnot here, I never noticed. Do you have a boudet anywhere in your house?
Yes, I have one.
You do?
It's a bidet.
A bidet.
Bidet, not a boudet.
Last cast, you said somebody stole with a D on the end of it, and I didn't even say anything. But I mispronounced bidet.
That's not. You know what that is? That's a regional. That's a regional. Grammar issue. That's regional. Well,
okay. On Long Island, we call them bidets. But anyway, you have a. The reason I ask. I think that I want to get the name right. A guy named Joe Ron, R-A-N-N, I believe, R-A-A-N, fan of the cast. This guy says, I got to send you something. I just want you to know what's coming from me. Changed my life. Loved this thing. There's no note on it, so just let you know it's coming from me. So I got to confirm, but I'm almost positive this is who sent me this thing. But it's a bidet. So it hooks up. You take off the top part of your toilet bowl and you put this on, right? Not cheap either, not cheap. And the part that shoots out, because it's designed, you can set it for three programs. One is for his back, meaning my ass, her back, and her front. And then the thing is like in your toilet, and when it's your turn, you press a button and it comes out far enough to shoot up your ass, and then it goes back in its little hole, right? I was talking to Jackie about it. I go, how does like shooting water up my ass gonna get like, isn't it just gonna make it splash everywhere? I'm not understanding how it's gonna like rinse it out. And then I said, who might have one of these things that I could talk to? Boom, you, bro.
I don't use it. I don't use it. You don't. It's attached to my toilet.
Have you tried?
I tried it. Right. So,
what'd you take?
I don't know if it necessarily. Is supposed to wash your asshole, like clean. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the box said you cut back on toilet paper, and it has a built-in, ready for this, after it hits your ass, another button kicks in, and it dries your ass like an ass air dryer.
Yeah.
Warm air shoots out of it.
Yeah. Again, that pressure that comes out of there has to be so violent in order to clean... Mm-hmm. An asshole, right? Like, it's got to be like the pressure washers at the car wash. I think what that does is almost like it's just a little watering, and then you wipe your ass. That now your ass is wet, and you get more. You know, I guess
it makes it easier.
Easier, yeah. All right. I don't think it's for, you know, oh, you do that and all of a sudden you pull your shorts up and now you're walking around with, you know, a clean.
Here's my ass. It comes out, goes in, dryer kicks in.
Yeah.
And I'm walking away.
No.
Paper, no more paper. No.
No, all no. Right. It's like thing comes out, sprays water on your ass, and shit is still there. And then the dryer comes out.
Oh.
and dries the shit to your ass cheeks, and then you walk away. That's what I think. That's what happens. Christ. This is
making same. Clay. Now, listen. My other question is, what about, like, can you set it for warm water? Because even if I put this thing up, I'm saying to Jackie, it's cold water is going to be hitting your cooch at 6 a.m. in the morning. Who wants that? And she's like, oh, that's a good point. Also ask Sebastian if they have one, if you can set it for warm water.
Yeah. Mine's set for warm water. It's in the toilet. It's in the within the toilet, though, this thing.
Yeah.
It comes with the right. Toilet is... You buy the toilet with it in it. It's
right.
Not an attachment. So it's easier to manipulate the temperature of the water.
It's better. Yeah, yeah. This one, then when you hook this one up, it also has like a control, almost like an old TV remote to work everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
yeah.
goes next to it. So it looks like it starts to look like a hospital room toilet.
I know. I've seen those, and I go, oh, I see that, and I go, oh, they can't wipe their own ass.
Yes, man, it is. I bet after he's done spraying that up his ass, he sits in the chair and takes a ride up to the second floor of his fucking house along the railing. Right? Climbs in his Eric Roberts walking tub.
Oh, man.
So,
but yeah, bro, I'm really into the skiing, and
you're not skiing,
not yet.
You're into the environment,
but
That's right, you're gonna.
I like the fact that the kids are skiing.
Yeah,
Lana loved it. Lana can't wait to go back. She wants to go back next month. She reconnected with her family out there. She's got some cousins out there.
Awesome. It's probably gorgeous skiing out there too, right? It's like everyone goes there.
Beautiful. They got the hotel had a lot of things for the kids to do, and we met some new friends out there. I mean, bro, new friends. This is like,
wow.
I'm telling you, ski life is like a different. It's just a different lifestyle up there. The clean air. People are happy. Quality of life is nice.
The skiing weeds out too a lot of the obese. You know what I'm saying? Fat people snowmobile. Skinny people ski.
Yeah, skiing does eliminate a lot of different walks of life. I mean.
A lot of riffraff.
No one gets mugged on the ski slope, right?
No. Okay, you already got mugged paying to get on the fucking ski slope. Jesus, right? I mean, come on. No, but you're right. Exactly, man. Exactly. I mean, the biggest danger is some hot shot hitting you flying by. That always scares the shit out of me, too, man.
Yeah, no, that definitely is a threat up there. But...
yeah, no one gets mugged on the slope. That's great. Protesting.
But I did go. I did go tubing. Right.
Yeah. Okay. We do that every year. What do you think? You like it?
Again, this is part of me, and it's part of my family's. Thinking is there was two hills, one for kids between the ages of 1 and 5 and another one 6 and up, right? So we go on the one, Caruso's 4, we go on the 1 to 5, we all go down, and Alana goes, let's go on the adult one. And I said, well, Caruso's not old enough to go up there. She's like, eh, who cares? Let's go. Now, I'm a rule. I abide by the rules. Right? If you tell me 6 and up, I do 6 and up. Lana's one of these, like, okay. So I go, well, what if the, you know, she goes, look at these guys working the hill.
They don't give a shit. They're high out of their minds. Right? They don't care.
Right. Like, they just can't wait till they can go ski.
Yeah,
that's the only reason they're working there.
Yeah, they're daredevils. They were three and they were on the adult slope. So what do they give a shit, right?
Right, right, right.
So, of course, we walk by. You know, my son's in front of me and the guy's like working the hill. He's like, all right, buddy, have fun. This guy's like, hey, this guy's telling my four-year-old to have fun on the adult hill.
Right.
So we get up there and Lana goes, we have seven with us. We have four kids and three adults. Her uncle or her cousin was there with his niece and nephew. So Lana gets up and goes, how many of us could go down at once? And the guy's like, hey, that's 18 years old. Hey, well, how many do you got? Like, is there any safety restrictions here? Right?
No. No. The sign is there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the sign's there for liability.
Yeah.
Lana goes seven. He looks at us. He goes, we'll make it work. I go, hey, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. We'll make it work. Well, we're not even supposed to be on this hill. So we're all going to go in a single file line. The other kids that we are with are like 7 and 9. So they got the 7-year-old, then Caruso, then Serafina, then the 9-year-old. Basically, we went from like youngest to oldest. Right. And you're supposed to hold on to the other person's string or whatever they got, the handle, whatever. We all go down. Within the first, I'd say, 10 seconds, the line breaks. So my son is now holding on to the 9-year-old's tube. Everybody's laughing. I'm in complete panic mode. I'm analyzing everybody. Okay, I'm here. If Caruso falls, I'm going to try. I'm trying to analyze and predict catastrophe.
Right, right.
Of course, nothing happened. Everybody had a great time. We get to the bottom of the hill, and you know what I got a problem with? People who linger at the bottom of the hill and they don't like leave so the next person could go. It's like a water slide. Oh, yeah. You go to the water slide. Yeah. You don't hang out in the pool of water where people are going to be coming down. So I'm one of these guys. Again, a rule abider. I get up and I start moving, and I'm with the rest of my group is like kind of lagging, going, isn't that fun? Talk about it over here.
Exactly. Take it over there, then we'll do that on the line. Oh, that was crazy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
I'm right there with you. Totally, bro.
Get to safety, and then we discuss what we just did. We don't discuss it on the hill. So, of course, one of the guys was like, hey, everybody, get off the hill. It's another thing I don't do. I never get reprimanded for, like, not following the rules of the road, right? I'm always the guy off. And my wife is always the one going, oh, where's Caruso? Was that fun? No. Get the fuck off the thing. He's another person. I had a blast, bro. I got to admit, tubing's my new thing. I might not be able to ski yet, but tubing is
fun.
It's fun.
But don't you think that, like, if Lana wasn't Lana, you wouldn't have did it? Like, that's what's great. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would have been on the bunny one. Hey, this is all 2 more years, Caruso, then we could go with the big boys. What the fuck? You know? So... thank God you married who you married, bro.
And it's funny, my mother asked me the other day as I was driving her home from my house. She goes, what do you love about Lana most? And I said, Lana gets me out of my comfort zone, right? Because to your point, I would have been sitting on a bunny hill going down like an asshole. Come on, let's do this again. Instead, we were all up there together. We were all going down together. Me and Caruso went down, just him and I, right? And no fear. This kid's got no fear. I grew up with fear. I grew up with,
The fact that these kids are growing up the way they're growing up is definitely a bonus. And it never would have happened if Lana didn't facilitate breaking the rules.
Do your kids make fun of you yet? Especially your oldest. Is she old enough yet? Like, about that, like, Sadie's already making fun of me. Like, all right, Dad. Dad's always worried.
No.
Because Dad's going to be the one who has to deal with it.
That's
when
right.
something happens. That's what Dad, right,
Dad's gonna be the one they're gonna turn to when, like, do you know how to give CPR? And I'm like, no, because I was never put in a situation where we had to give CPR.
Yeah, exactly, man. We never get to the point where I'm doing 85 miles an hour down a hill holding on to my 9-year-old cousin's ankle for my fucking life, man. Never happened. Yeah. Different times.
I got a friend of mine, his name is John, and he is completely confident that he could save his kid's life at any given moment. And they do everything together. You know, it's like, I go, aren't you afraid that they're going to go? He goes, if anything happens, I'm completely confident that I could save their lives. I could give them CPR. Oh. I could bandage I could do a tourniquet. I could do this guy has no fear of anything. Therefore, he's going to enjoy life to the fullest, because if, God forbid, anything ever happens to his kids, he goes, I can handle it. And I go, I can't.
Right.
That's why we're on the bunny hill.
That's it, man. But you're also, you're enjoying your life your own way. You know what I mean? This is, you know, this happens to be one of those things that you did and you're like, wow, I got to do this again. But I guess it does make you wonder how many other things you pussied out on that, you know.
Oh, God.
You might have loved.
Pussied out on a lot of things. And I want to point out something that we pointed out last cast, and we're going to point out this cast. But what I want is I want to do a little interactive poll with our listeners. And I want to you to remove your hand from your mouth right now and just kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's take a still of that, if we can, Patrick, whenever you're in post-production. And I want to get the fans' take on the no-bearded Pete
it's
look.
What? Even Jackie said grow it. Even Jackie said, all right, you did that.
Yeah,
now.
Jackie said it, use it, but can we get a consensus of what the fans think of, do you like Pete clean shaven, or do you like him with a beard? And Pete says he
wrinkles,
looks ill.
The wrinkles. This, bro, I get these like every man gets them. But then when you get older, now I'm getting the secondary ones. Secondary. Oh my God. Like, I just, like, right there. This is, oh, I need a facelift.
No. What you need is some filler. You need a little filler. Pop some filler. Next time you come out to L.A., you can get some filler popped into your face to fill that right out.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Botox. You're talking Botox.
No, I'm talking filler. Like, they shoot, like, I don't know exactly what it is inside your skin where it actually fills out your face.
Nah, just grow a beard. I said grow a beard. Yeah.
Why bother? You're still staying at fucking murder hotels. You're going to get filler?
Once in a while, yeah.
All right. That's it for today's show. Pete's coming out, I don't know, end of the month. We're going to have some guests line up. We have some guests line up already. I'm reaching out to a few people on land here. Hopefully I'll just tell you, we have Dane Cook confirmed. He's going to be on the show.
Awesome.
Looking forward to talking to Dane. Dane and I kind of came up together here in Los Angeles. And we got some other guests on the back burner, not confirmed yet, but we'll see.
There was one I asked you about that I said, oh, maybe I can do a reach out. And you go, I tried. I don't want to say his name because I don't know if we're going to say it. But you said he second guesses himself too much, that guy.
Yes.
I feel like I could have gave him a presentation that might have got him on, because
reach out.
Now, if I get his stuff through an agent, I'll do
go
that
route.
Because I don't want to get, Oh, dude, that's right. Let's do that. All right. Because I'm coming to the music angle. Music angle.
Come from the music angle.
Anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to coming out, man, doing these interviews again. Fun.
We'll have a ball. We'll have a ball. Until then, this is Pete and Sebastian Show. We will see you next week. Thanks again for doing it.
The show has ended.
He checks every box. I'm a man's man, but yet gay with a child at the same time.